on Sunday, the gospel told us that the people were amazed at Jesus' authoritative teaching and extraordinary power, even power over evil spirits. The people were amazed. Today's gospel concludes with Jesus being amazed. He's amazed that the people of Nazareth have so little faith. Maybe I can start reflecting on this gospel by sharing an incident from yesterday. Yesterday I was in the Diocese of Imus. I had to officiate at a wedding there. And I arrived quite early, so I was just sitting around in the sacristy, and the parish priest came in. And a very friendly man. We got to chatting a little bit. Since I also studied my theology in that diocese, we had a lot of mutual friends, and we went to the same school, in fact, although he was ahead of me. And I knew a lot of people associated with his formation house, the Tahanan ng Mabuting Pastol, TMP. So we got to chatting about all different things, you know, how priests talk. And I noted at some point, I said, you know, you've been a priest a lot longer than I have, but you are a lot younger than I am. How did this happen? And he looks very young. And he told me he was ordained at age 24. So he's quite young. He's younger than me, but he'd been a priest for 30 years. And we got to talking, he was telling me this story about when he was first ordained. He was ordained young, and his first assignment was his home parish. So he was sent back to the parish where he served as an altar boy, a sacristan, and everybody knew him there, of course. And he said the manangs there in the parish, they used to tell him to run errands for them, treating him like he was still one of the boys. And then he was, early on in his ministry, he was doing a baptism, and one of the people gathered for the baptism was he used to play basketball in the street with them. And so the man said, "Hoy, pare." And everybody was a little shocked that he was treated so casually. "Hoy, pare." And he was joking about this. He found it so funny. Well, of course, that all came back to mind when I read Jesus going to his hometown. You could, what in Catholic terms we would refer to as his home parish. He went to his synagogue, and the people who knew him as a boy, who knew him as a carpenter, who knew him as one of the kids in the street, they said, "Well, who is this? Or how did he get like this? Where did he get all this wisdom and power?" And they did not accept him for who he was. They did not accept him as a prophet. It says they took offense at him. It's an interesting phenomenon that we like to box people in. We like to label people. And once we stick a label on someone, it's very hard to change it. Even if the person does something completely different, we already know who he is. Now, being a foreigner, no one around here thinks that I'm just one of the people. I don't look like anyone, and I don't sound like people. So people kind of think I'm strange anyway, so that no one will think that I'm ordinary simply because I'm a foreigner. But when I go back to my hometown, my home parish, I see people I went to school with, especially if they don't know I'm a priest. And even if they know I'm a priest, what they remember is they used to ride a bicycle on their street, or I broke their window or something like that. That's what they remember. Jesus gives us the principle: a prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. What becomes familiar to us is no longer special to us. There's even an English proverb: familiarity breeds contempt. Once something is familiar to us, we no longer treasure it. So now Jesus experienced this, and he simply taught, he did the best he could. But since he found no receptive spirit, he couldn't do anything. He wasn't bitter about it. Not that his feelings were hurt or anything like that. Like the priest I met yesterday, he wasn't hurt about being treated badly by the manangs or anything. He was just joking about it. That's the way it was. But in the case of Jesus in Nazareth, the sadness is that he can't do what he was sent to do. He can't bring the kingdom of God to the very people to whom he is sent. And that is sad. What we're being asked to do here is examine ourselves and see, where do we limit the work of God? Where do we box people in, or box in the people whom God has put into our life, and do not recognize the presence and the work of God in them? Or in circumstances, it's not just people, but situations. How can my house be a place where people pray, or where, what's a holy place? It's just an ordinary house. I have to go to the church. I have to go to someone holy. I have to go to the shrine in order to pray. Well, not really. The first reading gives us another spiritual principle which is connected to this. We think of trials, sufferings, problems as interfering with God at work. We think that these are the things that prevent us from growing in the spiritual life or doing the will of God. And we're familiar with problems. I mean, we've been living in a pandemic for almost a year, and we say, well, this is what we're dealing with now. But if we don't leap beyond the ordinary label, we won't see God at work. Is this pandemic just a worldwide crisis that we have to pass through, or is God at work here? Of course God is at work. I don't know if anyone says it's an ordinary pandemic, but it does become kind of familiar. I mean, we walk around with masks, and we keep our distance, and we wash our hands, and you know, that's how we have to live. Okay. Ordinary. Well, what is God doing here? What is God saying here? Well, in this first reading from the letter to the Hebrews, the lesson is that these trials are discipline from the Lord, like the discipline that a father gives to his children. This is a beautiful insight, and it really enriches us if we can apply it to whatever problem we happen to be passing through. You think it's a problem, you think it's an obstacle, you think it's something to complain about, it's a discipline. It's God disciplining us so that we grow, so that we learn. The reading puts it very well. At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. It always seems like a bad thing to be disciplined. Of course, a pandemic seems like a terrible thing, and people have suffered it much more than we have, as you know. People have lost their lives, people have lost loved ones, people have lost jobs, people have, their businesses have shut down, and all kinds of, endless consequences. And here we are complaining. At least I'm complaining all the time. I'm sure you've heard me complaining. And maybe you're complaining too, complaining about this and that, the things we can't do and the things that we have to do. If we take it as discipline, we won't fall into that spirit of complaining. And we won't fall into the danger that the people of Nazareth fell into, of thinking that this is just ordinary, something that's not to be taken as a work of God. Do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. This is a deliberate response of faith. Any problem that we have, whether it's the pandemic or an illness or a problem in the family, of course, our first reaction is that this is a bad thing. This is bad. And when we don't like it and we complain about it. But we can, if we learn from this reading, we can apply faith and say, well, even though I don't like it and it's painful and it seems bad, I will not disdain the discipline of the Lord. I'm going to submit myself to whatever God wants here and give him glory. Let me give you a trite example, but it's current, so I'm going to share it. Because of the safety protocols now, we have to curtail some of our usual devotions. Yesterday, we couldn't have the procession with the candles. Today, we can't do the blessing with the candles for the throats. When these announcements were given to us last week in the diocese, I was the first to complain. Because without the signs, it's very hard for us to get the idea that there's anything special about the blessing. And one of the most difficult to accept is the change that's going to be implemented on Ash Wednesday. We can't put ashes on people's forehead. Maybe you've heard of this discipline. We're not allowed to touch anyone, so you can't put ashes on their forehead. We're just going to sprinkle the ashes on the top of their head. So, great. Nobody's even going to notice it. Who cares if you have ashes on the top of your head? and we, at least here, we're all used to, on Ash Wednesday, seeing everybody with ashes. So my first reaction was to complain. Well, I'm preaching to myself here, but I hope you get the lesson too. Let's take this as the discipline of the Lord. All these basically minor contradictions, but still unpleasant. We take them as the discipline of the Lord. Well, what does the Lord want us to do? To let go of our expectations, to let go of our controls, or what we think, the way things should be, let God be in charge. It's humbling, it's sometimes frustrating, but it's also freeing. If this is how God wants to do it, even if it seems bad, even if it seems painful, let God's will be done. That's what we pray. So do not reprove, don't disdain the discipline of the Lord, and do not lose heart when reproved by him. Whatever trial you're passing through or will pass through, try to apply this principle. Strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Don't let the trials of this life interfere with our journey to the next life. Let them become aids to, let them be training for our growth in holiness and our progress toward eternal life.